Heavenly Father, we bless the holy name, Lord. We thank you once again, Lord, for this another year that is ahead of us. And we thank you, Lord, for the year that passed by. But Lord, we have experienced much of thy love. Love among the believers here. We thank you, Lord, for you have made it possible because you are within us. And guide us, Lord, of those past years. We look, Lord, forward to the year ahead of us. And Lord, we await thy return. We know, Father, there will be many things ahead of us, Lord. The word of God that prophesied of things that must come to pass. And we know, Lord, as we watch and pray, we pray, Lord, that we walk close with you. Walking in the light that you have given us, Lord, and keep ourselves, Father, in that faith, in that truth, in the life of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And get ourselves ready and well prepared as a wife, make ready. So, Father, we ask for your blessing even today as we begin our first year of our coming together, Lord, in this manner to the house of the Lord, to worship, to fellowship, O Lord, and to hear thy word. We ask that you bless us another year, even today, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We thank God for that. Wonderful songs. And we are going to go to Canaan Land. And we are going to talk more about Canaan Land. Let's go to the book of Genesis and continue with our series today, led for the last 3 weeks. Genesis chapter 20. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, "She is my sister." And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, "Behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife." And Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, "Lord, would thou slay a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister? And she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this." And the Lord said unto him in a dream, "Yea, I know that thou did this in the integrity of thy heart. For I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet. And he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are dying." Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning, and called out his servants, and told all these things in their ears. And the men were so afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham, and said unto him, "What hast thou done unto us? What have I offended thee? What have I offended thee, that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done." And now Abimelech said unto Abraham, "What saw thou that thou hast done this thing?" And Abraham said, "Because I thought, surely, the fear of the Lord is not in this place. And they were slain me for my wife's sake. And yet indeed, she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. She indeed, and she became my wife. And it came to pass, when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said unto her, 'This is thy kindness which thou shalt show unto me, at every place whither we shall come. Said of me, he is my brother. And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servant and woman servants and gave them unto Abraham and restored him Sarah his wife. And Abimelech said, behold, my land is before thee. Dwell where it pleased thee. And to Sarah he said, behold, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, it is to thee a covering of the eyes. And to all that are within thee, are with thee, and with all others, touch, she was reproved. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife, and his maidservant, and their bare children. For the Lord had first closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Now we know that the story here, most of us know very much about the story of Abraham and his calling and his journey, and even such cases as this. But I guess many of us sometimes overlook certain thing in the story that God put in the Bible, or historical fact. We come to this place now, and we know before that God called Abraham out of his homeland at the age of 75, and his wife at the age of 65. It's called him, get out from your family, from your nation, from all your kindred, all your relatives. Now I'll bring you to a land, and I'll give that land to you. And I'll make you a father of a great nation. And so Abraham believed God and journeyed with his whole family, his wife, and his household. And there came Lot, and we know the story, the problem that Lot caused. And then we know all the promise that God gave to Abraham was reconfirmed in the last two chapters. Before God sent the two angels down to Sodom and Gomorrah and destroyed the cities. You know, after the promise of the covenant was renewed with Abraham in chapter 18 of Genesis, you know and understand by looking at it, if there is a mystery that God wants to show the saints of God, one of the mysteries is right here in these few chapters. You know that Abraham, that was his original name, Abraham. And Sarah was Sarai. And you know that from by looking at it, that God changed their names. When God speak the word, when faith was given to them, when the spoken word was uttered, having changed their name, then what was to be expected is that the promise must be fulfilled once the name was given. And true enough, as God said, in the season of life, next year, you, your wife, Sarah, will have a child. But we look at it, of course, we realize then, well, today we live in this age, then, we're expecting the coming of the Lord. And we know, we have heard what the prophet of God had told us in his messages about having a new name, about rapturing faith, and how that he said, just wait to the little bride, to the little flock, the little group that will hear the voices of those thunders, and how that they will be able to handle the word of God. And we know that in the ministry of God, throughout from Genesis to Revelation, we understand one of the deep mysteries that few people, or we would say denomination, fail to see. And perhaps in this entire message, many followers too. That without the spoken word, there's no life. Literally, I'm saying that. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see? Just like the centurion, well, child who is very sick and dying, and Jesus says, I will come. But he said, no. All you have to do is just speak the word. Just imagine that. He recognized the power of the spoken word. Just speak the word, Lord. And he will be healed. You know, as God promised Abraham, Abraham was just walking the light of God's word. God did not reveal to him everything at one time concerning the promised seed that he was going to give him. He began to call him out of the land and said, I'll bring you down to the land, I'll make you a great nation. Then he says, I'll give you a seed. He didn't tell anything else, you know, more than that. Count the sand of the sea, so if you can. Later on he talks about the stars, if you can count them. Abraham believed God that he would have a seed. But having waited, well, for a long time, some 11 years, you know. And then, you know, Sarai, she could not wait any longer. And so, urged her husband, Abraham, to take the born woman, you know, to bring forth the seed. You know, after Ishmael was born, Ishmael was raised up for 13 years before Isaac came along, before the promise was given to Abraham that the son would come. And we know that when we read over in chapter, let's go back a little bit to chapter 17. You know when the angel of God came to Abraham and renewed this and told Abraham that your wife will no longer be called Sarah, but Sarah. And he said over here in verse 16 of chapter 17, and I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yet I will bless her and she shall be a mother of nations, kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and saying in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. You know, all those years before the Lord came to Abraham and gave him a new name and also gives Sarah a new name. All the time, Abraham think that Ishmael, being that he was his firstborn, should be the heir. In one sense, the Lord, because God promised him that he would have a seed. And he was thinking, alright, then since this is the one I've been waiting so long, now he's studying, he's raised up all this year now. Says, Lord, can't you just accept him? You know what the Lord reply is? God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. You know, perhaps at some point along in time, Abraham will feel that, well, Ishmael is mine and I've been waiting all these years now. And now, you know, just to laugh at it, now you want to give me a son through my wife, Sarah. Won't you just accept Ishmael? You see, when God promised Abraham, he says, I will give you a seed of your loin. And the thing is that Abraham believed God. But all the year was waiting, more than 10 years. And then now, the wife said, take Hagar. And having a child, name him Ishmael. Think that, well, God might accept this. God didn't speak to Abraham all the time. So you get used to it, maybe that's what it is. But God promised to Abraham by seed. And when God told him that it will come by Sarah, he said, well, you just let it be accepted here. You know, you just think about it, it's your son. I mean, it's Abraham's son. And that's the firstborn. And the custom says that the firstborn gets the inheritance. Isn't that right? You see, I don't believe that Abraham is not wise enough to know or having no knowledge about custom, or that he does not realize that the inheritance actually fall upon the firstborn, yet according to God, it must come from the wife and not from the born woman. You know, all this is all just except Ishmael. And God says, it must come through your wife. You know, and so the name was changed, and then, not very long after that, couple of weeks down maybe, God came with the two angels and visited Abraham, and then speak the word. Next year in the season of life, it shall come to pass. Now we know that the flow of this mystery, or we say the flow of this man of God, God was showing us something. You know, here was Abraham. He was the father of our faith. And alright. And I say this one thing. You need to have rapturing faith, Abraham said, before you can get into rapture. When we talk about getting rapture, we are talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to take His bride. You know, Christ Jesus is the promised seed of God. He is the promised son. And children of Israel, in the past, they were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for the Savior. But didn't they realize that it must be a son? You understand that? They know that it will be Jehovah God. You know. But they could not accept the fact that it was Jesus Christ. But now, since that we are in the church, and we already know the mystery of all that, now we come to a place right now here. Now we must be able to identify with this setting. That Abraham is our father and we are the end product of that faith. If the faith begins with God changing His name, that is, the angel came or God came into your finish and spoke to Abraham, give him a new name, then speak the word and the promise was given. And the same thing it will be. There will have to come a ministry, there will have to come a fulfillment of the thunders in which the word of God must come and utter, and while we get the new name, and then after that, when words are spoken, then we realized we're going to receive the promised Son of God, Jesus Christ. But He will come and take us, and we will receive Him. So we see the types and the shadow right here in the Bible. Now back to chapter 20 here now. The Lord God, after having destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, continued with the record of Abraham, journeying toward the south, between Kadesh and Shur, which is, of course, if you know where Shur is on the eastern side of Egypt, in the desert, where, you know, Moses and the children of Israel traveled through that area. And, of course, entering into the land that belongs to Amalek, king of Gerar, that Abraham had this fear. And even from the beginning, as we read the story, we know, he already testified and told it to Amalek, that when he was caught out of the land of Ur Kaldee, Mesopotamia, he told his wife, said, should there be any time when we get into a situation, say that I'm your brother. And I will say that you are my sister. And we have a record here of Abraham being an honest person here. And God is showing that as even a man like him, still have weaknesses. You know, we all have our weakness. And here was a man who was just a friend. You know, it's nothing wrong to be afraid. And if we are scared, we ought to be scared. So for example now, that if you are having some problem in the body, and then you go and see a doctor, and the doctor says, I think you have cancer. You might have cancer. We need more tests. Of course, we all suddenly hear that word cancer. You know, everyone is scared. You know what I mean? You don't try to say that you're not scared. You're not afraid of it. Because it's a disease. It can cause much destruction and discomfort in life. You know. And if you heard the doctor say, oh, you just have TB, maybe no problem. Because, you know, that can be cleared up. But cancer is something that mutates. A cell that just keeps mutating and so on. And of course, we are scared. And I don't blame a man like Abraham. I mean, the Bible, there are cases where it shows, you know, people are afraid. You know. But it is through this one mistake early on with Pharaoh, and here again, Abimelech. Who isn't afraid? But the thing here we see is this. When Abimelech saw Sarah and took her for his wife. Now you know and I know that how old was Sarah? How old was Sarah? How old was Abraham? The different age between Abraham and Sarah is 10 years different. Abraham by this time is 99 years old. Right? How old is Sarah then? 89. She already menopause. Because already in chapter 17, Abraham already said, she's a dried up. 2 years early on, or maybe less than 2 years early on, she's already dried up. No menopause anymore. I mean, no menses anymore. She's gone to a menopause state. And everything is dried up. She already probably wrinkled up. You know. Probably have white hair already. By the time, you know, when she was first called out of Ur of Chaldees, she was 65. 65, at that time, she still have her period. She still can bear children. Perhaps it's 10 years down the road, or 12 years, 15 years down the road that she went into a menopausal stage. And then finally dried up. Now, if we read this story here, and I do not know, when I was in the denomination, and I believe most of us who never thought of it until we came into this message. You know, when I was in denomination, we read it and say, oh, you know, God miraculously able to give Sarah a baby, a child, a son. And we are thinking that an old lady walking down the road with a big tummy, kind of straight one. Would you ever see a woman down the road 60, 75 years old? Or walking down the road with a big tummy? You find it impossible. And people will find it strange too. And you know that it is impossible in science. And we know that God has put all these laws and rules and regulations and things in nature. When things get old, it must die. It does not, it's not able to hold the seed when it gets old. So God must go back to the stage in the beginning when the thing is young again. So the whole thing is that God reversed the whole nature of the human body in Sarah and in Abraham. Now you talk about, you know, the jokes that you said, of all when that your father and mother conceive you, of all the thousands of sperms that try to meet the egg, the joke is said that you are the stronger one that swim real fast. Huh? To catch up and meet the egg. We will think about that, don't you? And that is so true because why people married young? You know the signs that when the older you get in marriage, the child that you born may not be as strong. So you're going to marry young, and then your child will be strong. Because every cell in the body, including the egg, including the sperm cells and everything, will be strong. So that it will, your child when it's conceived, will be strong. So that is the nature of things. So then we realize that when Abimelech looked at Sarah, she was not an old lady. She wasn't an old lady. She was 89 years old, but she looked like a young woman, pretty. You think about it, and that's why we know that we are waiting for that day to come. When every one of us, having heard the spoken word after and under the thunders, we're going to all be renewed. You know what I'm saying? Huh? You think about it, Abraham, 99 years old. Sarah, 89 years old. And the already body were already reversed, to youthfulness from their old age. And it was something tremendous as a testimony. They are living among the people. People are looking at them. There is something about this. And don't you think that this thing is possible? That one of these, their brother Joe, you would have hairs on top of your head. So does Brother Karin. And who about Brother Lawrence? And all those with falling off, the hairs are drying up like Sister Aggie, getting white hair, would have black hair. You know? And those of us who have, maybe like Sister Lucy, or those who are like Brother Christopher, all the health will be restored. There will be a change in the body of strength. We have to. God will not take the church in the rapture when the members are sick in the body. He wants to restore the church back, not to the fullness of His word only, but also the fullness of health. Even as Brother Abraham said it, He cannot take a sick church. There's no way He can. Because after all, what was in the body of Christ? When He went to the cross and He died, did He die a sick man? Or did He die a healthy man, full of strength, so that the life of that strength is given to you and me, spiritually, mentally, and bodily, physically? You see, everything has to come back to that strength. That's the reason why in the age of regeneration, everything is to be restored back, regenerate back, the whole earth, mankind, to its original creation stage in the beginning. You believe that, don't you? That's the purpose of it. And God began it in us. And began by giving salvation, by giving His Spirit, so He worked from within out. And in order for it to work within out, we need to receive the Word. We need to hear the Word of God. See? So Abimelech took Sarah. No, he did not immediately marry her, because this is the Eastern custom. It is not a Caucasian custom. Neither is it a caveman kind of custom, where you grab a woman by the hand, drag her from her cave to your cave. You understand? Here it is, a man that you take a woman, and she is kept, and what we call, go through certain rituals of cleansing. It may take weeks or months. Do you understand that? Huh? So we don't know how long it was. But the thing is for sure, that already Sarah must have already conceived. And of course, the white lie, so to speak, that was spoken, Sarah speak nothing, Abraham said nothing, but faithfully alive. And so I don't know how many weeks passed by as she was being prepared, that the Lord God came to Abimelech in a dream. He said, you know, the woman you took is a married woman. I would have your head for it. You know, Amalek says, you know, Lord, you know, in the integrity of my heart, I wouldn't have done that. And during those times when Amalek took Sarah, God actually closed up the womb of the woman that belongs to him, that they cannot conceal. In those years, of course, I don't know how many, you know, wives Amalek have, and all the servants, women that they have, none of them can even conceal. In those days, the more the size of your wealth is measured, and the size of your power is measured by your size of your people, the number of people that you have. So none of them was able to conceal. And so Amalek repented, and we see over here, in chapter 20, that in verse 16, Amalek gave to Abraham 1,000 pieces of silver. So to take the reproach away from Sarah. You know, people were watching, obviously, what's going on. Just to clear her name. And he told Abraham, since now, all this land here that you have, you can dwell where you want to. Where you want to dwell. Just dwell where you want to dwell. And that land, of course, is the land of the Philistine. Philistine is actually a very small piece of land. Philistine. But the Philistine, at that time, we don't have much of a boundary. The Philistine are actually part of, you know, moving about in Canaan land. So sometimes they just move over to a little bit here. Sometimes they also call it Philistine. So nobody knows the actual size of the Philistine. Okay? And that's why Amalek dwells in that area. And so did Abraham. Abraham dwelt in most around the area of Beersheba. Alright? And he also goes to a place called Hebron. Mari. Okay? Now, let's continue so we can know a little bit more of that. Chapter 21. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did as unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. Now that's a wonderful thing. Now if we believe that the rapture that is to come, the translation, will have to be a set time appointed by God. How do you think we're all going to go? We know it's not going to be all of a sudden people just leaving the earth, floating up as denomination will believe. That got to be a set time. For us, which we know the time. And therefore, though we know that set time, there must be the utterance of the thunder. Something to give us rapturing faith. Something to cause us to know. I remember at the time here when I heard about the cult. The cult, I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, Seventh-day Adventist. They believe it back in the 18-something, you know. One of the preacher or pastor, prophet now, you know, I used to deal with cults, but all these years since I left the denomination, the message, now that's about 30-odd years now, I can't remember much about all these details. But they were waiting. They went to a certain place, you know, to wait. Because he said that's the rapture time, that's the end of the age, you know. But it never happened. And they changed another date. And they wait in a certain place. That's in America. You know. But the fact is this. We will know the set time. But we don't have to go to a place. Huh? We know the set time and God will tell us when. And I believe it will be. And then that's when the set time comes, that in the moment of the twinkling of eye, we'll be caught up. To meet everybody else in the air, is that right? It must be a set time. So when we read this in verse 39, Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And certainly I think that it's quite an obvious thing, you know. After all, you're old. And people, and in those days, if you are barren, you cannot give birth. It's considered a curse upon you. You know. But now she was able to laugh. And what it been? Now, you know, when we have this message that we are calling to the Word of God, and this present time, the denomination, they are so much against the truth. But you know, the day when we receive what we have, and when we receive our spoken, the promised Son of God, we will also laugh. We will be laughter of joy and happiness. Because the Word of God is life. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And in that joy we love that we have the truth. Was it yesterday or Friday? I can't remember now. My memory is getting a little bit off. There was an article in the newspaper about the atheists. Did you read about it? The 10 point about what atheists believe. It was almost a whole full page. You know, one of the things that he says is that people think the atheists do not believe in God. Or that God don't exist. But the point I'm trying to bring out is that they are not bothered about whether God exists or not. Atheists believe in things that they can see and have something that is literally known to them as facts. And that is true. What you don't see is not real to you. I mean to these atheists. And we know that in our faith is that believing is seeing. Right? But to the same thing is see that you believe. So since God, well, he exists or he don't exist, I don't know because I don't see him. And at least argue that anybody else religion is always claiming to be true. Nobody said that their religion is not true or inferior. He said that Hindu will say that they have their sacred book from God. The Muslim will say they have their sacred book from their God. And so, does Christianity. He said, so what's wrong then being atheist? That though we don't have any sacred book, we believe what we believe. And we see and we know those things to be true, then we believe. Well, knowing, if we reason like this, I know that I have some friend. In fact, there was one in the secondary school who went to church and for a couple of years and then he completely gave up all this thing about religion. He said to me later on, one time I met him on the road, he says, religion is always causing so much problem. He told me, you Christian people, the Christianity is the worst and in Islam. It's always fighting, arguing, quarreling. And the church splitting up, arguing, quarreling. Look at history. And he says, I don't believe in all this. And you know the problem is that people don't realize that there is a demon behind all these things that causes all this. No, they don't see it. And how do you know, brothers and sisters, that you have the faith, that the God that you believe, the God of the Bible is true. And that the God of any other sacred book is not. How do you know that you have the truth? How do you know that Jesus is real? To the atheist, they said it's all recorded in the book by someone who wrote it. Well, they can claim that they are written by a supernatural God. But as far as reading, it's just a historical book. Now the thing is this, how do you know? How do you know that you have the faith? How do you know God is real? You sing the song, we sing the song, My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. Now we sing that. And so does Islam, so does the Hindu, so does everybody else who the old religion. Isn't it? You'll see. But there are not just only one witness that we have to say that we've got in our spirit. There are other witnesses around the world that testify to the faith that we have. The heavens, the earth, the Bible, the thing that it says, the prophecy. Huh? There's no other book that can say something that, that came to pass. Isn't it? You know. Just think about this. And even last day, just only in the last century, the last 50 years, 60 years ago, or last 50 years, I would say, that the Bible was scientifically proven. God kept it so late to reveal it to the scientists. You understand? And so we can laugh in the days that we know we come to the place of our Lord and meet Him personally. And that will be the day when we enter into that realm of having body changed and taken out. We can laugh. And I believe in the day when our bodies start to change by the spoken word, we can laugh. When the world is in a mess and in get disruptions around the world, we can laugh because we're waiting to get out of this earth. You see. And I believe that Sarah was already laughing and she was carrying Isaac. You know. And laugh even more when people start to see the child running around or crying, suckling at her breast. There will be a great joy. And so Sarah said, God has made me to laugh, and so that all that hear will laugh in me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned. And if I make a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. At what age? At what age is a child weaned from the milk into solid food? At what age is a child weaned? Huh? I don't know, in modern age today, when a woman give birth, breastfeed the child maybe after a week or two, maybe three, and a man says, okay, now I buy a formula from a can of tin. I mean, a powder can milk, you know. Man, and whatever new name now, I've forgotten, you know. I work, you know, those days, and I work as a nurse, all the brand name I know, but lactogen and whatever else, you know. And now, I say, oh, it's not a wind. But weaning actually is from the breast to solid food. So even though you provide a can of milk, the child, instead of sucking at the breast, sucking from the bottle, that is not weaning. Weaning is from the breast milk or milk into solid food. So normally what age? But in those old days, there's no canned milk, poor Abraham. They got no canned milk in those days, huh? So they, Sarah would be breastfeeding Isaac. Until such time that he's weaned from that into semi-solid food. Usually we would say, well, an age, a year old. But some of those who can afford to continue to breastfeed a child, they will breastfeed a child 2-3 years or even. Even a child was running out as a toddler. You know. So to make it the child stronger from breast milk. But an age, a year old, to two, usually around that time. So it was at this time when the feast was held for Isaac, Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. You know, mocking means making fun. Maybe Isaac was walking around, you know, a length to walk, and maybe he was able to walk a few steps, and they were having this celebration, and Ishmael just mocked away, making fun, and Sarah saw it. You know, that's where the problem really started. You know, at that age now, I don't know what Hagar told Ishmael. Being that he was the firstborn, now the attention was upon the secondborn of Abraham's. And he might have realized that, well, he's not going to get inheritance. And there was this spirit of jealousy, envying. So it's at the mark. I remember the time when I was in Nigeria in a convention with Brother Patrick. And there was this Canadian minister who came there too and heard what I preached and told us at the table that I'm going to tear your message down. What you have spoken, Brother Gam, is nonsense. And so, our discussion was there at the table, and saying that Abraham brought all mysteries. And so I asked him, I said, can you tell me the mark of Cain, if Abraham did reveal all mystery? And he couldn't answer. His wife was looking at him. But he said, I believe all mystery will reveal anyway. So later on, of course, at my next preaching, of course, there was already a conspiracy with the pastor. And this pastor, a Nigerian, is now the chief of a group of people, of a tribe. And he's also entered into politics. And this man is having built a church, nice building. So when I was preaching, after I finished preaching the next sermon, then the pastor came up there and crucified me. I have nowhere to go. When I was sitting, I was in a corner, no way to move out. I saw the window behind me. And this Nigerian pastor was standing in front of me, because that's the little pulpit right there, was crucifying me for about half an hour. And in front I could see all the congregation. And right in the front row was this Canadian minister. You know, when the pastor began to crucify me, he was kind of smoke in his face. But when he got to crucify me more and more, he bowed his head. I don't know whether he enjoyed it. Huh? You know, you would have, I can tell you what, men will mock at us, thinking we are some kind of idiots or something. Huh? They run us down, as the denomination will run Brother Branham down. And on the internet, I was just telling you, well, they're running me down at nothing. Even out of the website, out of this forum, they're running me down at nothing. What's the matter with people? You see, down here, of course, Ishmael mocking. There is a spirit of envy and jealousy. If you feel that you're superior when you have nothing, then the spirit is wrong and you start to mock others. You start to run down. If you have a truth, you won't do that. You just stand for the truth and make clear the truth. You see. Well, for she said unto Abraham, now Sarah said to Abraham, cast out this born woman and her son. For the son of this born woman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. Now you know and I know that Abraham had Ishmael. That's the firstborn. But that's under the born woman. And then we have Isaac. Was the one whom God promised Abraham that I will make a covenant with him, not with Ishmael. Now, Ishmael is believed to be the father of the Arab race. But it is not really so. You know, to today, right from this chapter 21, there are already a spirit of conflict. Right? One father, two sons, one the promised son by the wife, the other a son by the born woman. So there is a conflict now. So the Jew and Arabs fighting till today is based on this. Why? It's all about daddy's inheritance. Now you know that, don't you? Today we see in the newspaper too, don't we? Oh, father died, businessman, there's a lot of money. Elder son, or number one son, fight number two son, number three son, fight number one son. And mother don't even know which way to go. Sister will fight for it and support one group and so on. They fight. All for the money. For the inheritance of the daddy. And so this is what happened right here. Until today. It's all about daddy's inheritance. And the problem started with who? Sharaim. You see that? At least the tone of the flesh, Lord, is kept away. You know, the devil has a way to try to bring make believers right in into the group. But now, you know, it's one thing here, is we talk about the denomination try to manipulate us in this way and talk all sorts of things against us, give us a lot of headache. But you know, the enemy is actually from within. The family, so-called family. Did not James say so? You war among yourself. Right, it's right to start with somewhere. So you got a devil come in and start all this thing. And he always was a Sarah says, oh, well, you know, why don't you just take this one, this woman Hagar and just bring up all the son. And that's all we have. You know, in the Quran, you know, throughout the promise of this, the story about Abraham and God's promise to him, we know that God promised him the land of Canaan. Right? He promised the land of Canaan. And you know that the Quran itself actually testified to it. The Quran itself in many parts of the writings, then they say, of Muhammad's own word, so to speak, that the land belonged to these people. Many places. And that's true. And according to, even the Quran says that Canaan is the Jews' inheritance from God. And we know for the fact that if you look throughout the Bible later on, we find one thing. That you notice that Abraham journeyed always around this area of Canaan. Into Egypt and came out. And then also, by looking at it, we know the Dead Sea. It's clear enough for you to see the Dead Sea. And here is Hebron. Beersheba is right here. Now, Beersheba, not Bathsheba. Huh? Don't get the wrong one. Beer, it means the well. Sheba means oath. Huh? Now, this is either the place, the whole area here. You know, it's called the land of Canaan, the Philistine, this area is around here, that's where they live, but they also come around this way. Now, here is a place called Machpelah. Now, there is a cave that Abraham bought. And it is in the place called Mamre. And that's right about the area there. Now, in that cave, Abraham was buried. Alright? First of all, because his wife Sarah died first, and she was buried there. Later on, Abraham was buried there. Later on, Isaac was buried there. Later on, Jacob was buried there. Isaac's wife, Rebecca, was buried there. Isaac's wife, Leah, was buried there, except for Rachel. Rachel was not buried there. Rachel was buried in Bethlehem. But where was Ishmael buried? Where was Ishmael buried? Now, according to the Bible, let me just go right to this one here. Now, the land of Shu, this is Egypt. This area is Egypt, you know. Shu is in this area. Now, Havilah, let us go to a verse in the Bible then. Genesis 25, verse 17. And these are the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years, and he gave up the ghost and died, and was gathered unto his people. And the people dwell from Havilah unto Shur, which is before Egypt, as you go toward Assyria. And he died in the presence of all his brethren. So he died not in Canaan. This is Shur. Havilah is considered to be somewhere here, where there's gold and all these things. And some of them say that it's this whole area is Havilah. And some even believe that it might go, Havilah should be somewhere even in the south of Imant. You know, the nation of Imant. Right at the back or the bottom here. That's where Imant is, you can see. Okay? Alright, so now, Assyria of course is up here. So this is the place where of course, you know, the Arab dwells here. In this or in the desert, this is Arabic land. So Havilah is supposed, the word Havilah means sand, sea of sand. So of course this whole area is desert area, isn't it? The Arabic land is it's sandy, isn't it? So it kind of desert altogether. So where did Ishmael die? He said, well, he was buried among his people, so you know, and so we do not know where he was actually buried. But he was definitely not in Canaan. He was never buried in Canaan. You understand what I'm saying now? And yet no descendant today, no descendant, no Arab. We said that the Arab is a descendant of Ishmael. But no true, actually, in fact, it's believed that no true Arab today is pure Ishmaelite. None. But the very fact is, the Bible said they were married, they were mixed marriages. And if you look into the Bible, Judges chapter 8, verse 5. Let's go to it. So that at least we know the claim of the Arabs. Judges chapter 8, verse 5. Alright, it says here, and he said unto the man of Sukkot, give, I pray you, loaves of bread unto the people that follow me. For they be faint, and I pursuing after Zibar, Zemuna, king of Midian. Okay, then chapter verse 12. And when Zibar and Zemuna fled, he pursued after them. That's Gideon, huh? Pursuing after them. And he took the two kings of Midian, Zibar and Zemuna, and discomfited all the hosts. Verse 22. Then the man of Israel said unto Gideon, rule thou over us, both thou and thy son, and thy sons also, for thou hast delivered us from the hand of Midian. And then last verse 24. And Gideon said unto them, I would desire a request of you, that you give me every man the earring of his prey, for they had golden earring, because they were Ishmaelite. Okay? But the Ishmaelite were intermarrying with the Midian. Okay, now let us go to Genesis 28. Genesis 28 verse 9. Then went Esau. And Esau married, it says here, Esau went unto Ishmael and took unto the wife which he had, Mahalah, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebohotho, to be his wife. Okay, now let's go to Genesis 26. Verse 34. Genesis 26:34. And Esau was 40 years old when he took the wife of Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite. See there, he took the Hittite. A giant. From the giant Jin. And Bashima, the daughter of Elam, also the Hittite, which were a grief of mine unto Isaac and to Rebekah. So, we have this. Esau marrying the Ishmaelite, take the daughters. You know, and the Ishmaelite take the Midian and marry them. So with all this intermarriage, finally in the end, none of them is actually a pure Ishmaelite. Take them for example, if I'm an Ishmaelite, I marry an Edomite. My son is Ishmaelite. Isn't it? And then married a woman.
of another race. But instead of having son, you get daughters. And somebody else from another tribe married a daughter. You know what I mean? So the gene pool of Ishmael became watered down until nobody can actually claim to be a real pure Ishmael. Ishmaelite, literally. None can really claim to be. That's why you have the Arab race, a big nation from different pool. It's very hard to really, for anyone to really claim that they are a pure Ishmaelite. But today we know that the Jew, who they are, no matter how much they are scattered, the blood test will prove who they are. And the gene pool still remain and identified. Alright? Let's continue right now. Go back to chapter 21. So now we have cast off this bondwoman and a son. Verse 10. For the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. That is, the seed is not heir with the shuk. That's for sure. The seed is not heir with the shuk. And you know what a shuk is? It's a chaff. You go up to the paddy field or the wheat field, and you see all the field brooming with all this, the grain, the golden grain. And then you say, that's wheat, or that's rice. But you know, you take a grain in your hand, a stalk of grain. All those grains that you see, we call it grain. A grain is a grain, it's not a seed. Literally, the seed is inside, right? The chaff. And you haven't, I don't know whether young people here in this ever seen a chaff. Rice chaff. Rice shuk. Have you ever seen it? I guess no. Many of you know. Because now they all the rice that comes into Singapore, oh, it's very clean. Isn't it? You only want to find a chaff in that. Or only thing you'll find is after you have left the rice for a number of days and not used it, you find boll weevil. That's what you get. Huh? But otherwise, you don't see it. If everybody wants to see what it is, you're going to buy that in big sack. Really big gunny sack in a grocery shop, which you don't have today. Back in the 60s, 70s, you know, you go, maybe you go to a little India in Singapore. They probably have big sack. And then when you find those brown little husk, you know, that which is already broken up and the seed is out. That is what it looked like. The chaff. Or the shuk. That is not the seed. That is the carrier. Now we have the church went into a dark age. God let the seed die, so to speak, into martyrdom. And then rack it up. And out comes the first tassel, which we have justification under Martin Luther. And then grow up again. Another era, another age comes forth, another few breaks of leaves, and we have sanctification. And then finally comes out all the stalks of grain, which we have Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You see. But those are grain, those that we see are just grain. But God wants the inside, which is the seed. Now you have a mango. Huh? A mango is a fruit. But the seed is inside there. Huh? If you take the whole mango and just throw it down on the ground, the chances is for it to take into the earth and bring forth a shoot is very hard. Because tendency is that when your fruit drop onto the floor, it will rot away. And the seed will also rot with it. So normally the animal will eat it, or human like you will eat it, and then left the seed, and we throw it. Huh? And then it will dry it up, and later on, whatever conditions, you know, the seed went into the ground and take root. You see? It's the seed that God wants. Not the covering, nothing else. Pull back the covering, and you see the seed. And you know what? The church world actually covers, you know, we are in the whole church world system, you know, so to speak, we are inside there. Is that right? And now God sent the word to pull it out and take the seed out. You see? And so I said, my son cannot, you know, the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son. Not with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous to Abraham's side because of his son. And God said to Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah have said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, from in Isaac shall your seed be. Oh. In the beginning, God told Adam, you hearken to the woman. Because of that, you shall toil the ground. But now God said to Abraham, you better listen to your woman. Huh? You know. Well, the beginning one was a bad mistake. You know. If he was deceived. But at least here, Sarah said the right thing. You know. The shook is not air with the seed. Cast the woman out. God said, you listen to her, Abraham. You know. And so, it has to be that way. And God's, and also of the son of the bond woman, will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. I will make an indignation of him. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar. Took bread doesn't mean take a loaf of bread, huh? And pack a good amount of food, okay, and water, and give it unto Hagar, put it on the shoulder, and the child, and send her away. And she departed and wandered into the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrub. And she went and sat down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. How old do you think then was Ishmael then? 15? Should be at least 15 years or more. Yeah? When Isaac was born, he was 14. He was circumcised at 13. And Abraham was 99 years old. And that's so. So he at least 15 or 16 years from now. But they are wandering. They've been wandering. Kind of far away. You know. Well. Kind of wandering far away. To this area. Now that's about something like 70 kilometers, 40 miles away. And the water was spent. Of course, she didn't want to see her child die. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of the Lord came to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, what ail thee, Hagar? Fear not, for the Lord hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thy hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw the well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And the Lord was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness, and became an archer. So he became a man of the wilderness. Remember? What kind of man was Ishmael? He was a wild man. He was already prophesied earlier that he was a wild man. And his hand will be against his brother. And his brother's hands against him. And to this day, the Arab is tearing apart one another. And the whole world today, those who embraced Ishmael's line have always been a problem. Fighting well not only against others, but fighting against themselves. The Shiite against the Sunni because of ideology. Brother against brother. Think about it. And continue to say, and he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran. And his mother took him a wife of the land of Egypt. That's why we have Egypt is very close to the Arabic people. The Egyptians are not Arab. But most Egyptians, they embraced Islam. And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the chief prince of his host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou hast do. Now therefore swear unto me here by God, that you will not deal falsely with me, nor with my son, nor with my son's son, but according to the kindness that I have done to thee, that thou shalt do unto me, and to the land wherein thou hast sojourned. And Abraham said, I will swear. And Abraham reproved Abimelech because of a well of water which Abimelech's servant had violently taken away. Abimelech said, I do not know who had done this thing, neither did you tell me, only yet now I heard it today. And Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them unto Abimelech, and both of them make a covenant. Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves, and Abimelech said unto Abraham, what mean this 7 ewe lambs which you have set by themselves? And Abraham said, for these 7 ewe lambs shall thou take of my hand, that they may be a witness unto me, that I have dug this well. Wherefore he called that place Beersheba, because they swear both of them. Thus they make a covenant at Beersheba. Then Abimelech rose up, and Phicol and the chief captain of his host, and they returned into the land of the Philistines. And Abraham planted a tree, a grove, in Beersheba, and called there on the name of the Lord, that he worshipped the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the land of the Philistines many days. Here is Beersheba. Now, that is Hebron. Jerusalem is up here, Bethlehem is up here. That is the Philistine land. So Abraham sojourned around this area. And he goes up and down everywhere. You know, Abraham in fact covered many areas. Do you remember the king that came to the four king over here in the plain of Zoar? Before there was this Dead Sea form. There was no Dead Sea at that time, maybe just a little lake. It was a nice plain. And these four kings rise against the king that is from the north, from Babylon, Elam and all this. Those five kings came down to fight against them. And after fighting against them, he took Lot and go back. And when Abraham heard that, they have taken Lot, you know what happened? Abraham from here went all the way up, chased them, all the way up, and they came out all the way up to Dan. You know where Dan is? It's all in the north. Go all the way up there. And Abraham from all the way there. And then to rescue Lord that came back. So there's a lot of land. And God told Abraham, wherever your feet step, it's yours. And in fact, the land of Israel that God gave it is all the way from here down to the river of Egypt. You know where the river of Egypt is? The river of Egypt is somewhere here. So that's the land of Israel, covering all this area, all the way up. That's very big. But today, what does Israel have? Tiny little land. Tiny little land. So can we believe what God promises us to? All we do exploit, like Abraham. It belongs to us. Let us pray. We close here now. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace, Lord. Thank you for the blessings that thou have given to Abraham. And having seen, O Lord, his life, Lord, help us to hold to the same faith that Abraham was the father of the faith that we have received, that we be like him, Father, believed what you said, and hold on to that which you have given us, Lord. We thank you, Father, for all this admonition in the Word, things in record for us to understand. Even as we wait for that coming, may we, Lord, live in peace with every man on this earth. We know, Lord, this world is filled with hatred, filled with envy, covetousness, wickedness. And truly, as the Word says, sins will be more abound in this earth as the end approaches, Lord. And we look for your grace, more grace, Lord, in our life. Oh, let we be like Jesus, Lord. Let we be just like him. And even as your word is given us to be conformed to the image of his Son. And so, Lord, as you predestined all these things, we know that, Lord, we are sitting in heavenly places, and all these are reality. And surely, Lord, one of these days, our body will be changed, Lord. And we come into the fact that Christ's promise is real when we see him face to face. Even right now, Father, we believed that all this thing has already been predestined for ordained before time began, that we are your children and you have given us the Spirit of the Lord. Father, we thank you. Bless us now, Lord, as we close in Jesus' name. Amen.